The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Yeehaw! And welcome everyone to In the Saddle with your host, DJ Iceberg. Strap on your boots and mount up with me as we take a ride through the equine world. Hello, horsemen. We're going to do something a little different this episode, and instead of just telling you about jumping, we are going to interview my sister Simone, who is a professional horse jumper and has been on horseback practically since she was born. So, Simone, tell us a little bit about how you got started with the sport.
I got started through my dad, who rode a lot, as well as my older sister, and I caught the horse bug from a very young age, and it kind of just took off from there.
How old were you when you first started horseback riding?
My dad put me on a horse at about a month old, and the first time I rode a horse by myself, I was 2 years old.
How have your parents influenced your participation in horseback riding?
My parents have influenced my riding a ton. They were both very supportive. My dad, when he was still alive, was fiercely competitive and loved watching. My mom took a little more time to adjust to it, but she now loves watching and is just as competitive as I am, although she won't admit it.
Tell us a little bit about the different kinds of events in show jumping.
In show jumping, you have jumpers, you also have hunters, and equitation. Equitation is where the rider is judged on how they are riding the horse and what the judge is seeing, whereas hunters is judged on the way the horse is jumping and the way the horse is moving, not on the rider. And jumpers is judged on how fast you can go while leaving all the jumps up.
Hearing you come home after riding horses for work, you often mention riding difficult horses. How do you think that has shaped you as a rider?
Riding difficult horses is part of the job, but it's also part of what makes you a good rider. If you're just handed horses that are easy and always do what they're told, you're not going to be a good rider. You're not going to be able to ride different rides. You're not going to be able to get yourself out of sticky situations. If everything is handed to you, your life is going to come easy, but it's not going to be good.
Tell us about some of the horses you've had over the years. Are there any that hold a special place in your heart?
I have quite a few horses that hold a very special place in my heart. The first one being my children's jumper. He was a little gray horse from Ireland. His name was Limerick. He won everything all over, from the US to Canada to even Paris, France with me. He was a super superstar, and he was unbeatable. Nobody could catch him. If he wanted to win, he would win whether you were on it or not. Another horse that was super special to me is a horse that took me from the meter 20 level all the way through young riders. His name was Sancerre. He's still happily retired at my farm and gives walk trot lessons when he needs to, and he just enjoys his life. And then the current Grand Prix horse that I have right now, his name is Cooper. I won my very first FEI Grand Prix on him and did my first World Cup qualifier on him, and I'm looking to try to qualify for the finals with him this year, hopefully.
What does that mean when you say FEI Grand Prix?
FEI is the world ranking for horse sports. So when you have an FEI competition, you're not just competing locally. It's also with riders throughout the world that will compete against you, and it's for world points rather than just national points.
What have you learned about teamwork from your horses?
I have learned that you rely on them as much as they rely on you. You really form a bond with your partner. I have such an incredible bond with my horses that I show. It makes it incredibly painful when they do pass away or you do have to sell them, because you get so attached to each other. You know, I know what my horse is thinking before he even does it. He knows what I'm thinking. My horses have been the ultimate support for me throughout the years. When my boyfriend passed away a couple years ago, my horses were there for me. I went immediately to the barn and they just knew, and they both just took me in. And horses can't hug because they don't have arms, but he just wrapped his neck around me, and I knew it was going to be hard, but it was going to be okay because I had them.
That's really wonderful, Simone. I talk a lot about the connection that riders need to have with their horses. And do you think all riders feel this kind of connection with their horses?
I think it varies. I think if you're taking the time to get to know your horse and you're not just riding them and handing them off to the groom and waiting for them at the ring every day, then yeah, you have a good connection with your horse. I think the riders that don't take the time, spend time with their horses, get to know them outside the ring, outside the saddle, they don't have that same connection.
So even though you have to do all of this work with them yourself, you have to feed them, you have to put them out in pasture, you have to do all of this stuff with them, do you think that that's given you an edge?
Yes, I think it has, because I can look at my horse and say, oh, he's not feeling this today, or oh, he wants to do this, because I know him like the back of my hand.
What do you believe is the greatest challenge facing most horseback riders today?
The financial burden. The equestrian sport is something that is incredibly expensive. And the problem that I see is a lot of people that have nice horses that are letting other people ride their horses are giving them to the people that have money and can't afford to buy their own horses, rather than giving them to the people that also ride well, work their butts off, and don't have the income, and they don't get the rides. Which, occasionally, yeah, they do get the rides, but for the most part, what I've seen is the riders with money are the ones that get the rides because they get more time in the ring and people see them rather than the people that don't have the money.
What do you think makes a good horseman?
Someone who's willing to take the time in and out of the ring to get to know their horse and isn't afraid to get their hands dirty.
What does your daily routine look like at the farm?
My daily routine is I get up at 6:45, I feed the horses and the cows and the goats. I let them eat for a bit. Sometimes I will go back to my house and eat during that time as well. Then I will water and drag the arena. And if I'm jumping, I'll set the jumps that I want. And if I'm not, I leave it empty. And then I'll get my horses in order that I want to ride them ready, and I'll ride them. And then they will either go on the walker, the treadmill, or the turnout, either before or after they are ridden. And if it's nice and warm out and they're sweaty, they can get a bath. If not, I curry them down and groom them and put them back in their stall. They all get lunch around 11 or 12 every day. And then they all get dinner at 5 p.m. every day with hay and grain.
You mentioned a walker and a treadmill. What exactly are they, and what do they do to benefit the horse?
A treadmill is exactly what it sounds like. It's a treadmill, but it's for horses instead of humans. You can set it, they can walk and trot on it, and you can make it at an incline. It's good to get their different muscle groups going if you have a horse that's rehabbing and can be a little naughty to ride, or you just want a horse to be in a little bit better shape. I like to put my horse on it before I ride, usually to get them loose. Same with the walker. However, the difference between the walker and the treadmill is that the treadmill, you set the pace, and the walker, they can kind of set their own pace because they're loose in there and going in a circle, and you can put multiple horses on the walker at a time, whereas the treadmill is one horse at a time.
Are there any short-term goals you'd like to accomplish in the next few months to a couple of years?
I'd say some of my short-term goals are qualifying for the World Cup finals, as well as more top placings in FEI classes. Also, you know, getting my business launched off the ground and getting some clients and sales horses.
What is your business?
I started a company that bases out of a private farm, and what we do is I do sales and training. So I train people and their horses, as well as I take in horses that are for sale and I sell them.
What do you see yourself accomplishing in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think I'd like to see myself accomplishing going to a couple World Cup finals, as well as hopefully getting on a U.S. Nations Cup team.
Describe some of your highlights and achievements in the sport.
I'd say some of my highlights recently would be winning my very first Grand Prix in 2021, along with being sixth in the World Cup qualifier just a couple weeks ago in Sacramento. Some of my older highlights, I think, would be making the Young Rider team in 2014. That was super fun, and it was a really good experience getting to go to Kentucky. Also, way back when I very first started, I took my children's jumper to the, well, it's now called the Longines Paris Masters, but used to be called the Gucci Masters. And I took my children's jumper, and we won a class. He almost tripped and fell over, and I had one rein, and we still managed to be the quickest time out of everyone and smoked them all.
What do you believe to be one of your weaknesses, and what are you doing to improve it?
I think one of my weaknesses is that I don't have a ton of energy because I have a sleep disorder called sleep apnea. And for me, I don't have groom or help at home. So I do all the care for my horses, from feeding to tacking up to dragging the arena and setting all the jumps. And it is really hard for me to find motivation and energy to get everything I need to done in a day, along with properly working out and taking care of myself. So I am trying to be better about that.
What strengths do you believe you have that make you a great horseback rider?
I think one of the strengths that I have that a lot of people in my industry lack is I let my horses be horses. I give them time off. I let them go in turnout for extended hours at a time. I like to work them outside of the ring and to get their heads out of the ring. I listen to them when they tell me something is wrong. I listen to them when they tell me they like something. I just let the horse be the horse. I don't try to change too much.
When you say you let the horse be the horse, do you think that people who don't let their horses have as much free time to be the animal that they are, do you think that that is a form of abuse?
I think it depends. I know there's some people in our industry that won't even turn their horses out. So yeah, I think some people for sure abuse their horses and some people don't.
Tell us a little bit more about abuse in the industry.
You know, in every horse industry, people look at horse racing and they say, oh, everybody in horse racing is bad. It's not the case. There's a lot of good people in the horse racing industry. It's like with show jumping. There's a lot of good people in the industry and there's a lot of people in my industry. The same with horse racing. They over-drug, they over-lunge, they over-prepare, then the horse breaks and they, you know, toss it to the side, essentially. Whether that's selling it to a meat trade or, you know, selling it to someone else to be used and saying that it's sound when it's not and giving it drugs to get it to pass the vet check so that they can sell it, you know. People do a lot of corrupt, terrible things and they don't properly take care of their animals. And people turn a blind eye to it all the time.
Do you think that there's anything that the horse world can do to improve on that?
We have all of these rules in place, but they don't actually get enforced because the problem is the people that we have enforcing them are friends with a lot of these trainers. So when things like that get reported, the stewards turn an eye rather than actually addressing it, or they're afraid to address it because the trainer is such a big name that if they do address it and the trainer gets in trouble, then they won't get hired by that venue anymore because the venue won't want to have them because they'll have lost the big client in the trainer.
Is there a coach or an athlete that you look up to as a role model and why?
A couple of the coaches I've had over the years that I look up to for sure would be Judy Martin. She's well into her 80s now, but she has helped me come a long, long way. And I still get calls from her every once in a while, and I still call her every once in a while. She is just always so supportive and gives the best advice. And it always ends with, I never thought I would be here. And she's like, I know, right? Another big person that was a mentor to me was Richard Spooner. He helped me a lot throughout the years, especially the last couple.
Do you have any hobbies or interests outside of the sport?
I have a couple. I recently started rock climbing again with my boyfriend, and I found that I really do love it, and I forgot how much fun it was. I hadn't done it in about 18 years. I also love spending time with the other animals we have on the farm. We have some goats and some cows and a pig, and I love spending time with my dogs, and I also love spending time with my family.
Now, we come from a family of six full siblings and two half-siblings, along with a few strays that we've picked up along the way. So when she says that she loves hanging out with our family, it can be a lot, but at our best, we are a lot of fun.
Until next time, Iceberg out.